Hello everyone, Tomasz here, and welcome to another episode of Fujilove Podcast. On today's show, Jens Krauer will be talking to Valérie Jardin about her recent photographic project where she teamed up with Joshua Coombs, the founder of hashtag Do Something for Nothing. Today's episode is brought to you in association with Portrait Pro 15. If you take pictures of people, we have a great offer for you, so listen out for it later in the show. Needless to say, the Fujilove podcast is also brought to you by Fujilove magazine. Next edition of the magazine will be available on October the 7th. And now, let's dive into today's episode.
This is Fujilove, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to the Fujilove podcast. This is episode number 22. And today I'm actually personally very happy because I get to talk a little bit of street photography with a good friend of mine. I would say we jump right into it and I'll say welcome, Valérie Jardin.
Merci. How are you, Jens? Nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Same too. It's been a while.
Yes.
And for those who don't know you, let me just ask you, who is Valérie Jardin?
Well, I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's changing every day. I guess I would call myself a storyteller, a photographer. I resist more and more the street photographer term. So I'm a photographer. I'm an educator. I'm an author. I'm a podcaster. And I'm a speaker at conferences. So that pretty much wraps it up. It's all about photography anyways.
It's quite a portfolio of things you're doing. You must be very busy.
Yes, too busy at times. But I finally have an assistant now to handle some of the scheduling and things like that. Because it just got to the point where, yeah, it was way too much work for one person. And it's fine to work, you know, 7 days a week and when you love what you do, but there's times where, you know, you need to put the focus in what matters the most. And for me, it's to be out there with my camera and sharing the passion and teaching. So
makes absolutely sense to free time to be creative. So you're founding Jardin Incorporated.
Well, actually, I am incorporated. But yeah, I just the full name is actually Valérie Jardin Photography Inc. But I'm actually shortening everything to Valérie Jardin now because it's just becoming a pain to even add the photography at the end. And I think now people Google my name, they pretty much find me right away. So
yes, I can absolutely confirm that.
So it's good. It's been kind of a roller coaster, but all fun and I'm loving every minute of it.
Good. Where have you been recently? Like you travel a lot. What have been your recent destinations that you visited?
Well, in terms of days, weeks, or months. In terms of days, I would say my last trip was New York. I came back about a week ago, and as we're recording this, and I'm heading to Paris tomorrow. So I was just in New York working on, I wasn't teaching, I wasn't speaking, but I was working on a project that has totally taken my heart. And I met up with my friend Joshua Coombs, the founder of Do Something for Nothing. This young hairdresser from the UK who has been cutting hair for free around the world of the homeless people he meets on the street. And I think, you know, most people on social media now have seen some of his some of the videos that have been made of him. It's been quite viral. The BBC picked it up. A lot of news channels, Australia and France even, have picked it up. Papers in the US as well. Beautiful story. I mean, it's altruism at its best. And Josh and I have been in contact ever since he started the project 2 years ago. I was actually the first person he reached out to when he took the project out of the UK. And thanks to Fujifilm North America, we finally got to spend a few days on the streets together so that I could tell his story. And it's just been life-changing.
I have to say it's beautiful pictures. I mean, those who haven't seen it, it's up on your website, right?
Not yet. It's been on blogs, and I just did a podcast recording with him. The gallery is not up on the site yet. I'm still going through them. I've only released a few of them because we will be putting together an ebook to help fund his mission, and also so there'll be a lot more pictures available in the ebook, and we definitely want to exhibit the project and share the love, and then change lives one person at a time.
That's amazing. I actually have to say I strongly support that project, Do Something for Nothing, because that's such a beautiful idea. And I also believe that you as a photographer, you find really purpose in documenting these kind of things.
Oh, it's storytelling at its best, in my opinion, because I'm a street photographer mostly, and I don't photograph homeless people on the street. I urge my students not to photograph homeless people just because they're there and they're not moving. And I find that unethical. And unless they're telling a story, you know, and they take the time to talk with them and take more than just a grab shot, I find that, taking advantage of somebody in a situation of crisis or in a vulnerable situation. So for me, this was the perfect project to delve into, but when I started working with Josh on the street, I didn't just have the camera. I didn't start just taking pictures right away. I mean, they were, whenever we'd meet someone, we'd talk with them, we'd listen to their story. They were hugs, there were tears, there were laughs before I'd actually, you know, start shooting and feel comfortable photographing. So it was more on the humanitarian level first, and the photography level second, because and I think that's what made such a big difference in the way Josh and I work together. Because I mean, he's worked with other photographers before who were there just to take pictures, but for me it was really teamwork, and we were both as involved into this project, me telling the story of Josh working with those people, and him doing what he does best is make them feel better, and then listening to them, talking to them. And it was just such an amazing thing to experience, really.
Let's just quickly dive into what the project Do Something for Nothing actually means. What's the basic idea behind this approach?
Well, really, it's about doing something at your local level. Josh uses something that, you know, he does well. He's actually a very, very talented hairdresser. And so he offers this for free. Others may, you know, have other skills. They may own a flower shop, for example, and every morning just hand out some flowers to strangers on the street, just bring a smile to their face. Others may, and actually that's happened with Josh. Veterinarians have teamed up with him on the streets in England, I think, mostly, and have followed him. And you know how a lot of homeless people have a dog with them, so they would take care of the dog, check if they were healthy, give shots if necessary, trim their nails and so forth, while Josh was taking care of the dog owner. And so there's so much we can do. I mean, I do it, you know, with my son when we just grab a tray of coffee from Starbucks, and then we go to the local park and we just hand out some coffee to some of those guys that are sitting on the bench, and we have conversation, and they're just so happy because it's more about that connection. It's really making that connection. You don't have to give anything. It's just, you know, stopping by and you see somebody who seems sad. They don't have to be homeless, but there are homeless people everywhere, and also breaking the idea of who those homeless people are. I mean, they're people like you and me, and it could really happen to anyone. We met some 20-year-olds. We met a mom who was trying to get back home after, you know, struggling in New York and losing her job. We met people who were, you know, professors and just ended up on the streets because either they lost their jobs or it could be so many things, you know. So But yeah, it's just really reaching out to people, starting a conversation, and in any way you can. It could just be bringing out, you know, going to the local park where you know that there are homeless people, and then bringing your guitar and then play music for 30 minutes and connect with them. Show that you care.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful thought because, as you just mentioned, I think people tend to forget that this could happen to anybody. You never know what happens in life. And to bring that kind of humanitarian feeling back is really important and makes a difference. And it also ties into the thought behind street photography. As you mentioned, we don't photograph homeless people. But in this occasion, I think this transforms more into documentary, kind of social documentary work at that moment.
Absolutely, which is really what I wanted to start doing. I mean, I really wanted to start working for humanitarian projects and start photographing that. And well, there's so many big ones out there. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, okay, there's a lot of big money, too, in this kind of, humanitarian, some of the big humanitarian projects. And I wanted to make sure this was going to the right people. And here it's totally grassroots, and it's at such a small scale, and yet it has such a huge impact that I felt this was just the perfect fit, at least to delve into this for me. And it was such a positive experience that I'm definitely going to work with Josh again, and I'm really, really trying to help him keep doing what he's doing, because this guy right now is not working. He's taking some odd jobs, hoping to get more sponsorship to keep doing what he's doing. And I think it is so important. He's changed so many lives. And he posts on Instagram, you know, he posts smiles and some video clips of the people he meets on the streets and before and after, which are amazing. And you should see the response he gets on Instagram. I mean, people are so... it's so heartwarming that you can tell it is having an impact. It is changing people. It is changing the way people look at strangers on the street, basically.
Yeah, if you look at his Instagram, it is a massive following. I mean,
yeah, he's
really
near 200.
His work.
Yeah, he's must be close to 200,000, and that in a really short time. I mean, he started less than 2 years ago. So you can tell people want to get involved. And I think spreading the word that you can get involved at any level, you know, I mean, you can be a photographer and bring your camera to some people who've been actually influenced by what Josh does have done this. They bring their camera to retirement homes where, you know, the residents are lonely, and they do portraits of them and then they have photographs to give their family members and things. So there's so many ways you can make a difference that are so easy and accessible.
Yeah, we can do good things with our cameras. Now, if anybody else wants to support the project, I understand on one side, you're encouraging people together with Joshua to do this on a local level. But also, if somebody wants to officially support that project, how do they approach you or Joshua? How can people support it?
Well, you know, spread the word. We just did a podcast recording on Hit the Streets, and I also did a blog post. We are putting together an ebook, which will be on a donation basis. So hopefully to raise money that way, at least we're giving something, you know, not just asking for donations, be a photography book with the story of the people that whose lives Joshua touched on the streets of New York a week ago. And there will be other thing, not sure I can really talk about them. Well, actually, let's just do it. There's going to be a limited edition Cozy Speed bag that's been in the works for quite a while. Valérie Jardin camera bag from the amazing Cozy Speed brand. Everybody loves those bags. Well, there'll be a limited edition coming out before Christmas. And the proceed will go to Do Something for Nothing, to help Josh continue to travel the world, to change not only, you know, make a difference in people's lives on the streets, but also to reach out and speak and show people how easy it is to make a difference. So whether it's with, you know, whether you can cut hair or take pictures or whatever. So look for that. We are still waiting for the final prototype. And in a couple of weeks, I think there'll be a buzz about it. So, and pre-orders will be coming in. So it's really supporting a great cause. And I'm so glad that Thomas Ludwig at Cozy Speed has agreed to, and he's actually super excited about it because he always works with some really good causes and has agreed to support Josh and Do Something for Nothing with my bag, which seems to tie everything together since we just worked on this project and we're talking about it a lot.
That sounds great. And I'm sure you will let us know when the product is out and people can actually participate in this good cause. Because let's not forget, I mean, Joshua is actually doing something for nothing. Yep. And in order to maintain that, he needs something from other people to go on with this beautiful project.
That's right. And it's hard because he's such a kind man and such, I mean, he's just this beautiful soul. And for him, it's like, well, it's really hard for me to make, you know, I don't want to make money doing what I do for free. I said, but Josh, you cannot risk becoming homeless yourself just because you're helping homeless people. So, you know, what you're doing is, this is a so much bigger than that. You're changing people's view on how they can change the world at a small scale. So it is important, and I think we need to support his mission. I mean, and that's what I'm doing with my photography, and I will continue to do so as much as possible. We're hoping to show the photographs in exhibits in large cities, and while the photos are in exhibit in those cities, hopefully hit those streets and touch more lives and tell more stories. So if you have a gallery or you a curator or know of a gallery that would be willing to support this and show the photograph to raise awareness, reach out to me. That would be awesome. And we can work together.
So let's get that cycle going. And I hope this will develop into a much bigger thing than it is currently.
Editing portraits is a delicate process. Even with hours of painstaking work, it can be hard to get natural results. Portrait Pro 15 makes post-processing a snap. It's incredibly fast and makes it much easier to make subtle enhancements. You have total control over your edit, even down to the tiny details. Fujilove listeners can now save 10% on any purchase of Portrait Pro. Visit portraitpro.com and use the coupon code FLPODCAST to claim your discount.
Speaking of cutting hair, that's an incredibly personal act and you get close to people. How did you and Joshua experience this on the streets? Was that an easy thing or people saying yes to it? Do you have to convince them or are there people that say no actually?
Oh, there are people who say no. There are people who are very suspicious because they're not used to getting something for nothing, believe it or not. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I'll think about it. We've had a few of those, but very few. Most people are just, I mean, you have to tell them twice. They're so shocked, you know, that you want to do this for them. And the way Josh approaches them, I mean, he first talks with them. You can't also assume that people are homeless, you know. I mean, sometimes you see it. It's pretty obvious, you know, they have a lot of bags with them and things. But sometimes you really can't tell. You know, there are people who have been on the streets for a few weeks and they still have nice clothes because they had a life before. They had a good life before. And that's what people don't always, you know, understand is that they were not always homeless. They had jobs. They had cars. You know, they were making a living. And so sometimes they look quite nice because they still have some of those, you know, clothes from their previous life, basically. And so first of all, it's just talks with them, you know, sit on the bench and say, hey, how are you doing? And start a conversation. And then he tells them what he does. And most often, you know, people haven't had a haircut in, you know, months and months, maybe years. And so they're like, Oh, that would be amazing. And it's funny because right away, the men usually say, oh, I just want a buzz. But Josh is very skilled and he can give really trendy haircuts. So he said, okay, well, let me do something first. If you really want the buzz, we'll do the buzz. But he'll never settle for a buzz because, you know, he wants to do something really special. And the longer he works with those people, the longer he gets to talk with them. And the longer, you know, he'll spend an hour and a half, you know, with a person. So, and some of them are very shy. There is this example of Janusz. He really touched my heart. That was on the first day, actually. We were at a park in New York, and I think he cut hair for like 3.5 to 4 hours straight within the first. I mean, we just got together, and 10 minutes later, he was already cutting hair. And I was documenting, and this sweet man was sitting there, and he had agreed, you know, to get his haircut. He was just waiting for his turn, basically. And all of a sudden he just walked away. And then Josh looked at me and I'm like, what do I do? I was taking pictures. And we totally, you know, communicated without having to really talk. And I ran after Janusz. He was already across the street. And I just grabbed him by the arm. I said, no, we're not letting you go. You're going to get that haircut. You're going to feel so much better. And then, so he walked back with me across the street, went back to the park. And then very quietly, he said, but my hair is so dirty. And he was embarrassed. And I said, don't worry. You know, Josh is used to that. He has special shampoos. And you're gonna feel so much better. And he had tears in his eyes. And we worked with him for a long time. And he told us so many touching stories about his story, what happened to him and how he ended up on the streets. And he cried and we all cried. We all hugged at the end. And then Josh doesn't show the mirror, doesn't give them the mirror until the very last minute. And he gave him this beautiful haircut. I mean, the before and after pictures are just amazing. One of the biggest transformations. I caught a photograph of him looking at himself and his eyes were open and you could tell he was so, so surprised. He did not recognize himself. And he left with such, I mean, a spring in his step. I mean, he was a different person and it was such a small thing. And yet it gave him confidence. And Josh has had, people who actually, you know, felt empowered to either reconnect with family members or, you know, go to a job interview after, you know, he's worked with them. So it does make a huge difference. And it was just, it's so beautiful. So my job was really to document this, not so much the transformation. That's what Josh does. He takes a picture with his iPhone before and after this, which is what he posts on social media, which is amazing. But for me, it was more, you know, working on the storytelling, you know, a lot of details and Josh from different points of view and different depth of field. So it was really an amazing project to do. And I shot it all in black and white, my little X100F. And it was wonderful. I would go back in a heartbeat.
It's amazing. I think one of the most powerful things when you look at the before and after pictures is how much dignity people get back once they're like taken seriously and somebody actually cares about them. Yeah. And it's just beautiful if it empowers them to take whatever kind of steps they want to take. But if that gives them the push to make a step, then that makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. And really, it really shows the power of the photograph. I mean, you can really feel the emotion through the photograph. I mean, we did some video clips, which will be added into the ebook as well. But the power of the photograph is, you know, once again, nothing can beat that.
Absolutely. So you shot with your X100F.
Yes. And I don't know if I said that earlier, but yes, the project actually was made possible thanks to Fujifilm North America. So they brought Josh to New York. They brought me to New York. So we didn't have to worry about our expenses. Of course, we did this for nothing. And that's what the project is all about. But for Josh to come to New York and stay for a few days, you know, that's a big expense. So Fujifilm made this possible, which was We're so thankful. And I shot with the X100F, and we had a little bonus this time, which I actually left with Josh. We had a mini Instax printer. And I didn't use it from my camera because I was just too busy, you know, documenting this to have to worry about Wi-Fi between my camera and the printer. But we actually used it from the iPhone, connected it to the mini printer, and then we were able to give prints. Like we photographed this young couple, 27 and 29 year olds, who have been on the street for quite a while. And they're so in love. And we were able to photograph them, you know, after their haircuts, and they were kissing and giving them the pictures to keep. And that was kind of an added level of giving. And it was wonderful. So I left the printer with Josh, and he's going to be using that a lot now too on the street. So
are we going to be able to see those Instax pictures, or did you document?
Yes. Actually, I have a few pictures on the blog post where I think his name was Irish Mike. He's holding them in his hand, and he has this tight tattoo on his wrist, Irish Mike. That's how he goes. That's his name on the street. And so he's holding those pictures of that we printed for him. And he was so happy. I mean, and he was so handsome, you know, especially after his haircut. And he said, "Oh, I think I'll send one to my mom." I thought that was just so sweet.
Is there any experience that you would kind of single out as the most like powerful one you made during the project?
Well, Janusz was definitely one of them, and then this young couple, again, just 27 and 29 year old, and they had good jobs at one time, and then, you know, addiction, and you know, things went down quickly, and they lost their they got evicted from their apartment, so they had been on the streets for quite a while, but they were so in love. And one thing that the young woman said is, a lot of time people walk by us and said, "You look too happy, why would I give you anything?" And she said, people really can't stand it if they see us happy and in love. And they figure, well, if you have that, why would you need anything else? And she said, we're still homeless. We still need to eat, and we still need to get out of this and find a way to, you know, get back on our feet. But because they looked happy and in love, people were even more resistant to help them out.
That's crazy, because actually what they're keeping is a good attitude and a positive attitude, and it shouldn't be to their disadvantage. So
that's true. Yeah. So, so many, I think they all touched me, and Josh for sure. And, our friend Mel was there for a couple of the days. You may have seen some of her pictures. Yes. She helped us out, and she was really, really touched by the experience. She was doing some behind the scenes shots, and then as well as helping out with the mini printer and everything while Josh and I were busy. So yeah, we were all, you know, it took a few days to kind of come down from this and get back to a normal life.
So let's spread the word. It's on Instagram. It's the hashtag do something for nothing, right?
Yes. And then look for Joshua Coombes, COOMBES. But if you Google my name, Valérie Jardin, look for the podcast, listen to my conversation with Josh. It was just last week, and a blog post. And I'm sure you'll link things to the show notes as well.
Absolutely. So we'll put all the links into the show notes. Now, since we're running a little bit out of time, I'd love to talk to you longer about this beautiful project. But actually, there's something else. As Valérie told us in the beginning, she's a super busy woman. So we also have a new beautiful book coming out that you're just releasing.
Yes, it actually hit the shelves last week. It's already made number one new release in photography books on Amazon. And reviews are coming in. I'm thrilled. Street Photography, Creative Vision Behind the Lens is actually my third book, but my first book published by a publisher, print book, as well as electronic version, Routledge Focal Press Books in New York. And so, yes, I'm excited. Reviews have been good. Jens, your copy is actually on its way.
I'm looking forward to get it. I hope you get yours.
Yes, I'll sign it as I'm still just working from an electronic file, looking at it as we speak, because I thought, well, if you ask me a question, maybe I should have it open in front of me. But my copy is still, it's been shipped to so many people, and so many people are sending me pictures of it, and I still don't have mine, which is a huge disappointment, but I'm sure it's coming. Anyways, yes, I'm excited.
Well, let's hope you get that soon. What I would be interested in is how long you've been working on it, on that book. Like, what was the process behind it of putting it together?
Well, I had 6 months to write it. So the from the whole, you know, working in with the publisher before it was they signed the contract was a good 6 months. Actually, it was probably even more than that. By the time, you know, we got in contact till, you know, I sent the proposal, it sent back, it goes to peer review, blah, 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 blah. It's such a long process in the proposal stage itself. And then so many board of editors, and then finally the final board meeting, and then it's accepted. I think it was accepted at 100%. Go ahead. And so I had exactly 6 months, a little under 6 months to write it. I met the deadline, and I wrote it mostly on airplanes because that's about the only free time I had. But in the meantime, I mean, I wrote 3 books in 14 months. So 2 ebooks prior to this one that were published prior to this one. And then this one that just came out. But yeah, it's about 230 pages. Part one is about the fundamentals of street photography, because Routledge is an educational publisher. So they really wanted that educational component. But the part that is the most exciting, in my opinion, and the most probably even more educational, is part two, which is the bulk of the book, called Photo Walks. And there are stories in a frame. It's the photograph and the story from the moment I saw it to the moment I to capturing the photograph. So what was going through my head, how I approach a scene, why black and white, why did I shoot it in color, why did I pick this angle, why did I shoot from there? It's basically what's going on in my head for over 100 photographs.
So we're getting a little insight into the thought process of Valerie shooting street.
Yes, it's probably, you know, you can't, it's almost like being with me on the streets. Not really, because you can't see how I do this, but it's actually kind of being in my head. So I went through some recent photographs, and they mostly from the past year or two. Actually, I added pictures as I was writing the book. I think it was easier. I was actually originally thinking of going back to pictures that were already taken. And as I was writing those stories, well, I ended up writing as I was shooting. Like, I'd have a story that day. I'd have a picture, that a keeper that day, and I'd write the story about it while it was fresh. So they're really recent pictures. For the most part, they were shot while I was writing the book. And then some of them towards the end of the book is stories in series as well. But it's mostly stories in a single frame. And the story from Paris to Brussels, Rome, New York, Seattle, Vancouver, Chicago. All over the world.
Now, which is interesting, because if let me ask you, if you had to single out, let's say, 2 or 3 locations to shoot street worldwide, which would be your favorite ones?
You know that. It's Paris and New York.
Exactly. What's number 3 following that up?
Oh, that's tough. I really love Rome for completely different reasons, because Rome just gets me out of my black and white mood. And so Rome for me is very special. But I don't know. I love shooting in Minneapolis even. And I know a lot of photographers think, oh, well, it's where you live is kind of boring. But it's not. You know, there are always stories happening. And so it's just a matter of being open to just staying open.
Absolutely. I mean, it's never boring if you carry a camera.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
So to sum this up a little bit, what's your plans for the next 6 months? What can we expect from Valerie Jardin?
the fall season is starting. I'm heading to Paris. I'm teaching 9 consecutive days in Paris. That's a long workshop and a weekend workshop back to back. Then I'm going to be speaking at Photo Plus Expo. for a couple days right after teaching a 2-day workshop there. So I'll be speaking for Fuji's. The workshop's under my brands only, not Fuji at all, but I'll be speaking for Fujifilm at the booth the Friday and Saturday at PPE, as well as signing books at that we'll have a meet the author at the Routledge Focal Press booth at PPE. So if people are there, they don't have to buy a book there. They can bring their copy. That's why they don't do book signings anymore, I find out. They do meet the author, so people don't feel obligated to purchase the book. They already have it. They can just bring their copy. And then hopefully I'll be involved with some Fuji Love Lives again next year. It was so much fun this year. So I hope we meet again. So lots of workshops, and then do something for nothing. Definitely something I will be doing again soon. I don't know where. Paris, definitely. I think that's probably the next city that Josh and I will be hitting next together. It will make the most sense. Plus, I'm being French, you know, I can be his interpreter as well as his storyteller. So it'll be awesome.
Yeah, plus in Paris, you have a lot of potential for that project. As I know Paris myself well, there will be a beautiful place where you guys can continue that project.
It is, and touching, you know, people from so many different walks of life, from different backgrounds. So it, and again, there will, it's the stories. And Josh is really good at writing the stories with the before and after pictures on Instagram. And those stories are touching. You know, if you're familiar with Humans of New York, it's, you know, he puts that much thoughts and heart into telling the story of the people he photographs. And it's quite touching to read.
Great. So Something for Nothing, if you hear this and you can maybe do that yourself in your own town, do it, please, because it actually makes a difference. And if you want to support Josh or Valerie in their future Do Something for Nothing projects, please get in contact with them, support them. And on that note, Valerie, it's always great talking to you. Great conversation.
Likewise.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. A bientôt.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.